Welcome to the Common Sense Spirituality Show, the show that takes the mystery out of spirituality with your host, David Gagan, engineer, science director, scholarly researcher of life's mysteries, and author of The Endless Journey.
Welcome to the Common Sense Spirituality Show. I'm host Dave Gagan, and this is a show where we talk about subjects which are critical to our happiness and spiritual evolution. Please note that all the chat room questions will be answered in the chat room on next week's show, as well as posted on my website, which is davidgagan.com, hopefully within a day or so of the show. When you visit the site, you can ask additional questions, even about other shows. You can listen to any previous show on iHeartRadio at iHeart.com by searching for either David Gagan or Common Sense Spirituality. I've launched a new podcast titled Aspects of Spirituality, which is also on iHeartRadio. There I explain my worldview and what I've learned about the mysteries of life in short weekly podcasts. I hope you'll join me there. Our show today is about hope. Our guest is Lorna Byrne, author of A Message of Hope from the Angels and the international bestseller Angels in My Hair. Miss Byrne was raised in Ireland as a Catholic and is known for seeing angels as clearly as we see people. This remarkable ability has given her a unique perspective on life, and with it comes a message of hope, which we're going to discuss with her today. Lorna Byrne, welcome to the show, Lorna.
Thank you very much. My pleasure now to be talking with you, David. Here in Ireland, and it's freezing cold here. I don't know what it's like there.
Well, I'm down here in Florida, and it's windy, but absolutely gorgeous. So I've drawn a better card than you have weather-wise here today.
You definitely have. You should send some of that heat this way.
I would if I could. Now you have this incredible gift, which allows you to see angels. Can you tell us about this?
I suppose the only way I can explain it, I don't know why God chose me to see angels as physically as I would see you if you were here in the room with me. To me, it's actually normal. It's natural. I don't know anything else. I always say to everybody, I can never remember not seeing angels. I didn't know they were angels because I was only an infant. But the first time I always say to everybody is just, you know, I remember lying in my cot and, you know, reaching up and trying to catch them.
Do they look like normal people, or do they appear solid to you? What do they appear like?
Gee whiz, they appear in so many different ways. But one thing that they always do is give a human appearance within themselves. That's the only way I can explain that. And yes, you're the first person that has asked me, are they solid? and I would say yes. You can't walk through an angel. You know, when an angel takes my hand, you know, I can feel the angel's hand. I can feel their touch. I can feel the love, just as you would in another human being. So that is a lovely question to be asked. And they have a great depth within themselves. It's like as if even if you look at an angel's hand, it's like as if you can see into it. It has great depth. It's like as if sometimes you could imagine your hand going actually into theirs and getting lost within their hand as such. But yes, they, now that I think of it, I have never really thought of it in that way. Yes, they are solid. They are like us in a way, but extremely beautiful.
How often do you see them? See them every day?
Every day. I suppose not a day passes. Sometimes, you know, even if I'm alone here in the house, which I am today, you know, an angel will come and visit. And of course, my guardian angel is here with me as well. And I have, you know, where I work in my little office, it's a bedroom, but it's right beside the window, and there's a lane, and people walk up and down, And sometimes when I glance out, I see a man or woman or a family walking up, but I would see the angels as well with them.
So you can tell the difference clearly between an angel and a person when you see them.
Yeah. They are different. That's why I say, you know, every angel within themselves gives a human appearance. I wouldn't be able to describe an angel only for they give that human appearance within themselves. It's something very, very difficult. And many times when I write something about an angel, I'm actually describing another little something that I haven't shared. You know, even as I said, that depth within an angel, you know, that is so extraordinary, and I'm still looking and searching for words to even explain that more. And I've never seen an ugly angel or a bad looking angel. I have to smile at that. They are always very, very beautiful and so radiant, and yet the radiance of them doesn't blind you in any way. And of course, they're so perfect. And I know many people have seen angels on different occasions. I know children do. I know when people are close to death, they may turn around and say to their family, you know, there was an angel in the kitchen today with me. You know, and that may be all they would say. Or sometimes people would report seeing an angel, you know, maybe they were in an accident and they would say, but there was someone here beside me. And that was an angel making themselves as human in appearance. So not to frighten the person, to be there with them, to comfort them, even though their guardian angel was there as well at the same time, but they weren't allowed at that time to see their guardian angel.
Now, how do you communicate with angels?
I always say to, well, we're communicating now. They're listening to us. I talk with the angels the way as I'm talking with yourself now, you know, out loudly. Sometimes I talk with them within my mind. Sometimes I would say to people, I can talk to an audience. And at the same time, I don't know how I do it, but I'm listening to the angels, and there could be three or four angels talking at the same time. I'm not quite sure how I do, but everyone, I believe everyone can. And I think the first thing a person should say to themselves is, you know, what have I got to lose? Just in case I might have a guardian angel. And I would say to everyone, you have nothing. And just, you know, it's kind of say hello. And listen to that guidance that you're given every day. You know, your guardian angel will never ask you to do anything wrong or to be mean or selfish or, you know, anything like that. They'll always do their best to guide you and get you to go in the right direction.
Yeah. Do you consider yourself a medium?
No, I never. I refuse to ever call myself that.
Okay. So you can't talk to your spirit guides. You can see and talk to angels, but you wouldn't try to talk to a spirit guide or a deceased person or anything.
No, I don't go out to try. What way would I say? But that doesn't mean like a soul doesn't pass by and say hello. But I don't want to go down that road as such. You know, sometimes I might be with someone and they would have told me, but you said something to me and, you know, that was very important, or that is what their loved one had said to them. But I don't go out to do that. I'm mainly helping people to realize that, you know, they have a soul. That's that speck of light of God. It's that love, and the world needs more love today. And everybody is hungry and thirsty, you know, and yet so afraid of the spiritual side, you know, that supernatural side.
Right.
But yet everybody wants to know a little bit more. And the thing is, it is connecting with your soul. It is connecting with your guardian angel. It is that pure love that if we let it out, you know, we will make that connection. I do know that in the future, You know, people will see their own guardian angel. A mother will talk to our own guardian angel. I just wish we'd get there a little bit quicker. I don't know why mankind is so slow and yet in such a hurry. I don't believe man really understands all the abilities that we have, and we just need to lose the fear, lose the anxiety, and allow ourselves to open up and realize that we're not just, you know, human beings, we're spiritual beings as well. And if we would only allow that to, as I call it in some of the books I write, intertwine the human part of us and our soul, intertwine the body and soul, intertwine together. Because some of the futures I was shown for mankind, and there is many and absolutely wonderful futures, there is some bad, but I always pray and hope that we never go down the negative, even though at times, you know, the way you say, oh, look, the way the world is going, but we have to remember there is great hope there. But it is where we allow that to happen. We allow ourselves to realize that we're not just human beings. What actually makes us so special, you know, is that intertwining of both. And, you know, children that, you know, they don't need a bridge to cross the river. They just cross it. And to me, that was just incredible. I would love us to get there. And the human body then doesn't get sick anymore because of that intertwining.
And I know Lorna, do you think that you know, when I think of an intelligence that is capable of creating this universe, I think of an intelligence that is certainly capable of controlling mankind. Do you think that that a lot of the things that we see, certainly we read it in the paper and such like that, of all of the disasters that are going on. Do you think that's part of the divine plan?
I would hope not, but no, I don't think, you know, the way you asked that lovely question that time, you know, I do believe it has to do with that word I hate, free will. You know, we actually have the power ourselves. Again, it's just to unlock it, and to realize that we are. And I don't know why. And you can call, you know, God a divine being. We call him all different names, and sometimes we even call, you know, the creator female. But I don't think it makes any difference. But yes, when he created this, and I do believe is still creating at the moment.
I look at it as you know, we are given free will to go experiment and to learn, and we can learn whatever we choose to learn. And whatever we learn, we take back that as wisdom back to the spiritual world. And some people choose to learn about the dark side by being on the dark side. Yeah. And that doesn't necessarily make them dark souls.
No.
But it allows them to experience the, you know, some really negative things. And I suspect that that's what's going on, because if the universal consciousness, which I call God as a broader term, didn't want violence to take place, I suspect he wouldn't let it. But I think we can come and experience anything we want, and the people that are doing that are not necessarily bad people. Maybe some of them are. I mean, maybe some of them have a bad time of it. But I really wonder why that would happen if it wasn't part of the plan. And I suspect that we might be working our way through a period and things are changing. I do notice that a lot of people, more people like yourself, who have are starting to have these gifts that allow them to interface with the spiritual world, you know, more than the average person. You're seeing more and more of these people. And I think the world is changing a little bit. And maybe it's changing a lot. And we're going through a period where we're trying to break out of some of these older things that we're experiencing and start experiencing other things. Any thoughts on any of that?
I do believe a lot there of what you said. Why some of us would like to dwell in the negative and the bad, it sometimes is very hard to understand. But I do believe most of us would rather, you know, learn of what is good and not wars and not hate and not anger. And it is an experience of living when someone else goes through that and chooses to go through that. Again, as you said, they're not bad, and no, they aren't, because they have a soul. You know, they are that pure love as well. So I know everything is part of learning of the human being, but the spiritual side doesn't need to learn anything because it already knows. It is that choice that we're being given. What do you want to learn? What do you want to experience in life? And lots of people would say, well, I didn't want to experience the horror of war or the horror of starvation or, you know, all of those horrific things of murder. But sometimes others inflict it.
It's
of the world, and it's a hard thing to grasp. People get so angry and so annoyed, but we have to remember there is great good, and we can make that turn again and go in what, please God, we will all believe is the right direction. It's like as if a long time ago, for some reason, we stepped off the road, we took that wrong turn, we decided not to go the other way, so we went a different way, and I believe that choice is always there. And there's great changes happening in the world today, you know, just what you said that time, but I believe those changes are in every aspect of the world, of every aspect of what is happening, not just on the spiritual side, but in science, in literally everything. And I think this world is an absolutely wonderful place. You know, it's just we have forgotten to realize how precious life is and how wonderful it is. And sometimes the human being doesn't realize that until suddenly something is taken away from them. Or in a sense, their life has been taken away from them, and we fight to live, you know, in that way. The human being has great, what's that word the angels are using here now? Silience, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it right even. We just have that zest for life. We want to make it good as much as possible.
Yeah. One of the things you said in the book, which surprised me a little bit, and you said that angels don't have a soul.
Yes.
What? How could that be?
Yeah, I know that is very, lots of people all around the world, even, you know, religious people as well, and even those that say they don't believe in anything. I used to feel very embarrassed, not for myself, but for the angels having to say that. But they used to say to me, Lorna, you must say it, you must tell the truth. So that's why I say it. Angels don't have souls. They were created by God a long, long time ago. And they are creatures. And I don't know in the sense of, I know the human soul is that speck of light of God. And I know that's another reason why the angels love to be around us, and why, you know, your guardian angel never leaves you for one second. But yet I don't understand that myself, why God didn't give his angels a speck of himself in the same way, that spark that he has given us human beings. And I can't even figure out why God fell in love with us in the first place. And when did he? How long ago was it? And I still ask all of these questions, but I'm not given the answer.
I look at a spirit, our spirit, as made up of two things. One, I call it the self, which is the divine spark that is within us, and then the other part is the soul that makes us unique, and our soul is what we, you know, what the experiences that we've had and our learning that goes with it. But I don't consider the soul as the divine spark within us. I think that's a separate thing. They're attached, they never split. And when you said that an angel doesn't have a soul, I didn't think of them not having part of the divine spark. I just felt that they were something, they might not have had the uniqueness, the spiritual learning that we're going through. But I didn't think of them as not having a divine spark. I don't know how you can exist without a divine spark.
I know what you mean. They must have something, right. You know, but I haven't been told exactly what that is. But I suppose maybe the greatest thing is that God created them himself, you know, long before he created ourselves or other things. And so I think whatever God gave them, I was just told to say, and I can't change it, you know, that God,
right.
You know, that the creatures that God created them long, long ago, but that he didn't give them a soul, you know, that spark of himself, that light. And I know you kind of change it differently. I call the soul is that spark, is that light. And it's within the human self. And we call, you know, we use the spirit, we use the soul, we use the spark. But I think we're all the time meaning the same thing.
So what do angels do? What do they do for us? I mean, there's a guardian angel. What does your guardian angel do for you?
Well, my guardian angel for me, and I know even for yourself, your guardian angel has for yourself got you to where you are today, because you have been listening all of the time, no matter what happened in the past. You're now become aware of the spiritual side, and you're in search of doing good. And I believe that was your guardian angel all of the time through your life, through all of the ups and downs and even the horrors, just whispering in your ear, giving you that guidance. And sometimes we ignore that guidance, or we put it to one side. But one thing is, your guardian angel never gives up on you. So it'll always keep on reminding you or helping you to see things coming within your path to help you to recognize that guidance and to go in that direction.
Is a guardian angel, do you see the guardian angel different than your spirit guides?
Some people would call the guardian angel their spirit guide. I believe people, you know, from different traditions use different words. Like I have often been with somebody and they would be saying, you know, my spirit guide here. But sometimes I would see their spirit guide as such standing beside them, but I would see their guardian angel. But sometimes it would only be their guardian angel. Your guardian angel allows other angels in and around you, and even what you might call spirit guide souls in and around you as well at different times. But they all come and go. They're not there constantly every second of your life. Your guardian angel just can't leave you for one moment at all.
Do they stop, you know, every once in a while something happens in your life. I'm sure it's happened to you. I think it happens. Probably it's happened to everybody where you really wonder why you lived through something or other. You know, you may be in a car, you know, driving down a car and a road in a car, and all of a sudden you think, oh, man, I'm going to hit that car, and then all of a sudden something happens. Something changes. Mm-hmm. Is that the guardian angel stepping in and doing something to protect you?
Yes, and sometimes it's like as if the angel is allowed, and other times they are not, and I don't know why, because when you told that little story there that time, it just reminded me of the time when, you know, my husband Joe had died, and I had two of my children in the car, and it probably wasn't long after, and I was driving, and I literally drove right across a crossroad, and it was like as if our car suddenly went into slow motion. It was like as if we stopped, but if we were still moving, we should have hit the other car, but we didn't. And again, that was, I suppose, that for some reason God had allowed the guardian angel to interfere in that way, because we were to live. And I know that then is very hard for a family who would say, you know, well, their loved ones died. Why didn't God protect them and not allow them to die? You know, sometimes it's something that we don't quite understand.
Do you think, Lorna, we have a life plan, a pre-birth plan, where before we come to Earth, we lay out what we want to accomplish?
Yeah, lots of people would talk to me and they would say about, you know, their destiny, you know, their life plan. What was it? What is it? I'm still looking for it. The thing is, you're already living it. You're already in it. You know, and if you look back from the time you were born, that's when it began. That was your first journey, you know, being a child and all of the things that happened then. I think your journey can change so many times. I don't believe it is just one plan that God has laid out for you. He may have something special in between all of that, and you will be guided back in that direction all of the time, but there will be lots of other things to happen within your life for you to live life, you know, the best you possibly can, for you to enjoy it. With all its ups and downs, I would never change mine. I would never have asked God to have changed it, because I think all what I went through, and I think it goes for everybody, that is what makes you. You know, you have the choice, you know, when bad things happen in your life, to come out that other end and say to yourself, well, do I want to be an angry person? Do I want to be a person that feels the world owes me? Or do I turn what has just happened in my life into a positiveness, into strength, you know, and for me to, you know, for you to go forward in life and onwards in that way.
I think we do have a life plan, but I think just like you, there's a lot of options in that life plan. It's not you will do this. These are the type of things that you can do, and we choose. We have free will, and we may start out with a plan. We say, hey, this is kind of where we kind of like to go. But then when we get into our life, we make our decisions, and we go various ways. And I think that maybe if something comes up, if we picked a path and we're working down a path, and something comes up, like a car accident, for example, that we weren't supposed to experience, then a guardian angel will get in and say, okay, I'm gonna take care of this situation because it wasn't supposed to happen. And yet, other times, they won't get in because something is supposed to happen. And so, you know, that maybe there's a lot more, thought that went into this than you know, maybe we realize at the time.
And I know for us all, before we were even conceived, we knew all of the different challenges we would have in life and all of the different choices we would have. But I think when you're born, sometimes we find humanly, I don't think it's spiritually, but humanly, that we can't cope with all of the things. So lots of times we say no, or we take what we might call the easy road. Sure, look at myself. I was always saying to God and the angels, no. You know, but I always knew that one day I would have to say yes, and that deep in my heart I knew one day I would say yes as well. But yet they kept on reminding me, you know, they kept on saying, you know, Lorna, you must keep it a secret, you must not tell anyone. They would say, you will write about God and us, and that's the angels, and that the books would become bestsellers all across the world. And I used to just laugh at that, even as a child, a teenager, even when I was married and, you know, with my own children, I used to think crazy, because no way, you know, I couldn't read or write, so how on earth did God think I was going to write, you know, a book or tell all of the secrets that the angels have been showing me all of my life? I thought, to me, it was impossible. And it was just then that one day, when I was wheeling my young daughter home before my husband died, Angel Michael came up behind me, and I always remember getting really annoyed with him because he was teasing me. And just stopping wheeling the pram and turning and looking at him and just saying, what is it? What is it you want? You know, I'm busy. I'm a mother. I have children. I can't be, he can't keep pestering me. And he just said to me, Lorna, it's getting near time for you to write about God and us. And again, I just laughed at the idea and just thought it was crazy, impossible. And it was many years afterwards, when my husband Joe died, and I eventually said yes. And the angel Michael at that time, when I was holding my daughter in her pram, had said, you know, help will be sent. And, you know, when you can't read or write, you know, and you were so poor, like every penny counted, you grew vegetables in the garden, you, even if a vegetable was half eaten by slugs or something, you saved the other half. You know, nothing went to waste, and you were repairing things. And when the angels would say these things to me, I just thought, you know, God must have it wrong, completely wrong. There was no way. But today I did say yes.
Now, Lorna, you write about hope. Tell us what have you learned about hope? Why do you have hope for mankind?
And because, just like myself, we should never give up on hope. I think hope is that light in the darkness for us all. Hope is the thing that is keeping the world going around. It's giving us great courage and confidence within ourselves. It's giving us belief, and we have to keep on seeing that light of hope. And even that angel of hope, who is just an incredible angel, and there is seems to be only one of this particular angel, and I call him the angel of hope. And, you know, he just carries that light, and he's carrying that light in the world, and he's all the time beckoning. I can't say the word properly, beckoning, sorry, to us to keep going forward, to get up, you know, to start to walk.
He beckons us, is that what you're saying?
He beckons us, yes. Okay. Thank you. All of the time. And I think that's very important for us all. Like, even when I wrote that book, A Message of Hope from the Angels, and Angels in My Hair, like, that is one thing that lots of people of all ages, men, women, children, teenagers, and those in college, came up to me and said, you know, you have given us hope. We can see hope. You know, because if you allow yourself to see hope that you can do something, that you can live life, that you can start to smile again and see, you know, a future for yourself, that gives you the will to live. And it doesn't just give you the will to live for yourself.
So you're viewing hope as a better, a happier life? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that is part of what hope is. Hope, you know, it just, hope to me, hope covers everything within one's life. If you have hope there, you know, it's like even, you know, to get up and walk. You know, I always remember meeting a young man, and he just said, you know, the doctors have said, you know, he needn't even try. It's no good. He's not going to walk again. And I was told to just say to him, to see hope in front of him, to see that light of hope. And I remember meeting that young man 2 years later. He came to a book signing. He wasn't in a wheelchair. Now, he wasn't walking on his own. He was walking with a crutch. But he was walking. And he just said, this young man, I've kept hope there, that light of hope in front of me. I know one day I'll walk now without the crutches. And I've met so many people like that. You put hope in front of you, it just gets you up. And I definitely think the world needs that today, because of all of the changes that are happening in the world, right across the world, not just in America. And we need that love that's in us all. We need to kind of, there's so much anger and hate and fear. We kind of have to turn that anger, hate and fear, you know, into strength and turn it into hope.
Yeah,
to know that we can make this a better world and it can work for us all.
You say in your book that you think that America has a unique future. What are you talking about?
It does. I didn't even know you were going to bring this up at all. From the time I was a young child, I was seeing a particular angel. And one thing that I associated with this particular angel was that any time I saw it with a family or with a particular person, that person always seemed to disappear in my eyes because they left the country. And it was later that I was told that these were what I call them, American gathering angels. They are angels that have been in the world such a long, long time, gathering people from all over the world to bring them to America. And yes, you are a new nation. And I know you have a very powerful part to play, and I don't think American people realize that you are all Americans, and that includes even the Indian that was there before you all went there. And I know the American gathering angels are still gathering people from all over the world at this moment, and sometimes that confuses me listening to the news in that way. But I'm looking forward to, I'm going back to New York now at the end of the month in February. And how can I say it? I know when I step off the plane, everything is going to be different. I can't explain it. It is the air, it's the vibrance, it is everything, but it comes from the people, not just from the land itself. You're all Americans, and you all have a huge part to play. It's like you are the gateway to the new world. I sometimes find it hard to explain, and I know you have the key, and I know you are turning it, because I know there are great changes. But I think that's what the American people must remember. You know, lose the anger, lose the hate, come together as one people, as Americans. It doesn't matter what part of the world you came from. and were gathered from all over the world by the American Gathering Angels. And God has done this for a particular reason. You save the world, you know, so I can't give up on you at all. And I never would. I don't know why God didn't allow me to emigrate to America, but he didn't. So maybe I have to be on the outside. But yet some of my family did long ago.
Interesting. How important is prayer?
Prayer is very, very powerful. I always say it can move mountains. And that is why, you know, on my Facebook there, I would be saying to people, you know, pray for the world in every aspect, pray for the stranger. And sometimes I would get into terrible trouble. People would give out when I would say, you know, you're to pray for the president of America, you're to pray for the presidents of every country and the leaders and the governments. And sometimes I might get backlash saying, how could you pray for that president or that government? Look at all of the horrible things they have done. But you have to remember, if you don't pray, you know, they'll never hear their guardian angel. You know, prayer is so powerful that all of a sudden, you know, a leader of a country or someone that has a lot of power can suddenly, you know, hesitate and feel compassion and love and feel, I must morally do the right thing in that way. And we need the leaders of every country now to be starting to make the right decisions for the people of the world. It is so, so important.
Should our prayers be for help or should our prayers be for gratitude?
Most people would say our prayers should be for help, because everyone, you know, focuses on the help that they need. But I think, yes, they should be for help, but I think they should be as well, you know, a prayer for the happiness and being glad of all of the blessings that you actually have in your life. Because if you're only praying for, you know, the help you need, then you're not noticing all the blessings, all the prayers that have already been answered. You're just staying, you're not seeing that hope, you're not seeing that love. It comes back to that as well. So you will pray for both, and you pray for the stranger, because there's lots of people in the world who have no one to pray for them, and they need your prayer. Your prayer could change somebody's life.
You know, now you say, Lorna, that there, you know, that a lot of people don't think their prayers are answered, and I would agree with that. Not for me necessarily, but that a lot of people believe that. And you give four main reasons why people don't think their prayers are answered. Do you remember what those four are?
Well, I know, I can't remember offhand now, and you just
I will help you, because I know what they are.
Okay,
go ahead. Let's start out with, we ask for things which are not part of God's plan.
Yeah, that's right.
And we ask for things which are not in our best interest.
Yeah.
And then we let evil in. What do you mean by we let evil in?
I think we let evil in because, you know, we feel we haven't got what we asked for. You know, even though it may not have been in our best interest or it wasn't part of the plan for us. So we become angry, we become full of hate, we lock the door, we become spiteful in that way. And again, it is to recognize that and not to allow that to happen.
Okay. And the last one, the fourth one, which I found particularly good, was we don't listen and take action.
Yes.
You know, that really, you know, we expect things to happen to us, or we hope they do. And if you're going to sit back and wait for it, it's never going to happen. You have to go get it. and the spiritual world will help you get it. But it can't help you if you don't, you know, if you're going to win the lottery, you better buy a ticket.
Exactly.
And I thought that was really good.
No, I do smile and laugh at that one myself, because so many people make that mistake. They pray and they ask, you know, for a particular thing, but they actually don't get up. You know, they don't go out that door, they don't buy that ticket. You know, they don't go looking for that job or for that love. You know, we have Valentine's Day coming up here now. In Ireland, I'm sure it is. In America as well, it's on the 14th. And again, people would say, you know, they're praying for that special love for that partner, but they do nothing about it. They don't get up and go out. They're waiting on them to knock on their door. And that's not going to happen. I have met so many people who have passed by love because...
You've got to do the knocking.
You have to do the knocking. You have to go looking for that job. If you want to sing, you have to sing. It doesn't mean you're going to become the most famous singer, but you could be singing in the local hall. You know, you could be enjoying your singing because it's a beautiful gift you have been given. You have to plant the seed, and you have to nourish it with water and soil for it to grow, for it to blossom. And it's the same with everything within your life as well. It's not just going to appear in your hand in that way.
What do you think the purpose of life is? Big question.
The purpose of life, to me, the purpose of life is to live life. I think, you know, even in saying those words, people sit back and say, oh no, that's a simple, easy answer. But it is to live life. It's to live life. It's to do everything you possibly can in this life. It's to experience everything you possibly can. It's to enjoy. It's to even feel the hurt and the pain. It's to live life to its fullest in every way you possibly can. Because life is so precious, our human life is so precious. And again, I know I said to you earlier on, like when somebody is losing that, like I always remember a young man and he being rushed into hospital and he was across the bed I was in, and the shock and the horror on his face of what had just happened to him, you know, of almost losing his life. And now there he was struggling and fighting to live life, to be alive. And that is what life is. It's about being alive, feeling everything within this world. You know, lots of people say, it couldn't be about living life at all. It couldn't be. But it is. And we have forgotten even how to enjoy the fresh air, even the rain, the wind on us, all those simple things. If your life has been taken away from you, you would be yearning just to feel the breeze on your face or a raindrop.
We've run out of time, and how can people find out more about you? I mean, you've written two books, A Message of Hope from the Angels and Angels in My Hair. You're about to come to the United States. How can, you know, do you have a website? How can people find out about
it? I have a website, and it's lornaburn.com, and I have a Facebook page as well. And I'm in the Open Center in New York on the 23rd of February. And then I'm doing a full day workshop with Mike Dooley on a Saturday on the 25th, and that's in Boston. But then in March, I'm doing a talk in the Marian Institution with Mark Booth, who has written the book called The Sacred History of the World. And we're going to be talking about living in two worlds. I'd say it'll be quite an exciting talk as well. Just, you can look me up. I've written 6 books, so I only in America, there is 3 of them out now, Love from Heaven, and that's why I'm going to America on the 23rd of February while I'll be in the Open Center.
Okay, and it's Byrne, B-Y-R-N-E, Lorna Byrne. Yeah. Lorna, thanks so much for being with us. It was great to talk to you. Obtaining wisdom is a long process, as no one can bestow it on us. The more we talk and hear each other's ideas, the more we'll be able to mature our own views. Questions and answers from the chat room for today's show and other shows will be posted on my website at davidgagan.com. You can ask other questions directly by going to the contact section of my website, and I'll publish those answers as well. Also, I cover all these subjects and many more in my book, The Endless Journey. I look forward to sharing our thoughts every Friday morning at 9 a.m. United States Eastern Time here on W4CY.com. You can also find all the old episodes of both the Common Sense Spirituality Show and Aspects of Spirituality on iHeartRadio at iHeart.com. Truth is indeed stranger than fiction, and it turns out to be an amazingly good news story. We all have a great destiny ahead of us. Let me leave you with one last thought. You are a unique spirit having a life experience. You are far more important in the grander scheme of things than you can possibly realize. Enjoy your life. You've earned it.